Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, what up? They eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, door fear, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, door fear, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but masterfully notice the weakness in all them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, vests are very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind of beauty of life. But when my mom said again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my d***ing P-right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him. Little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging. Splitting duchess up, strap up. The army's a school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals I build. With dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish scales the cops, love the time come. I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holster. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. Black gorilla, crib and blood in one only. Just know my face, I be the case for the wish at the police. Look at the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new Huey
Newton. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force. Of what we fight for, my heart goes to you beautiful wife in war.
Enlist and more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule the strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mitch Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson,
I'm sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see to that.
Dorden from TVCSI.
This is the military, David.
Free Land, Revolutionary Greetings. Welcome to another edition of Jordan University Radio. I'm your host, Bumana Secure, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional illiteracy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transfer the criminal mentality to new African mentality. And all we can do that, is through education. Our fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. Our fourth goal is to prepare a new African prisoner for release, produce new African citizens. Before I bring on the guest tonight, I'd like to go over a couple of events that happened in history during this week. Okay. On July the 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was adopted. A section denouncing the slave trade deleted. 1827, slavery was abolished in New York State. In 1860, H. Ford Douglas, a black abolitionist from Illinois, attacked Republican presidential candidate Abraham Lincoln for supporting the Jim Crow laws of Illinois and the National Fugitive Slave Law. In 1862, Frederick Douglass says in the Hembrand's Corner, New York speech that President Lincoln, General McClellan, and other top generals and Lincoln administration officials were pursuing a pro-slavery course and were either conscious or objective traitors. In 1863, the 4th through the 9th, with the fall of Vicksburg on July the 4th and Port Hudson, Louisiana on July the 9th, the Union controlled the Mississippi River and the Confederacy were cut into two sections. Eight black regiments played important roles in the siege of Port Hudson. In 1868, Georgia legislator, 34 blacks and 186 whites met in Atlanta. In 1875, white Democrats killed several blacks in terrorist attacks in Vicksburg, Mississippi. In 1881, Booker T. Washington established Tuskegee Institute, known as Tuskegee University. In 1900, Louis Armstrong was born. Louis Armstrong was a veteran in the jazz and the music. On July the 5th, 1852, Frederick Douglass delivered his famous 4th of July speech at Carinthian Hall, Rochester, New York, asking, "What to the American slave is your 4th of July?" I answer, "A day that reveals to him, more than all other days of the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. Your boasted liberty and unholy license, your national greatness swelling vanity, your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery." In 1892, A.G. Beard patented rotary engine. In 1962, Algeria, Africa declared independence from French colonialism. In 1966, the National Guard mobilized in Omaha after three nights of rioting. On July the 6th through the 8th in 1853, the National African-American Convention met in Rochester, New York, with 140 delegates from nine states. James W.C. Pennington of New York was elected president of this meeting, which is generally considered the largest and most representative of the early black conventions. In 1868, South Carolina General Assembly met in Janie's Hall, Columbia, with 85 black representatives and 70 whites. There were 10 blacks and 21 whites in the Senate, and 75 blacks and 49 whites in the House. This was the first and last American legislature with a black majority. Robert Sumner said that later that the South Carolina Assembly was a proletariat parliament, the likes of which could not be produced under widest suffrage in any part of the world, saving some of these southern states. Okay. In 1957, Althea Gibson won the women's single title and became the first African-American to win a Wimbledon championship. In 1964, Malawi proclaimed independence. On July the 8th, 1860, the slave ship Clotilda, the last recorded slave ship to dock in U.S., lands in Mobile, Alabama, 50 years after Congress banned importation of slaves. Africans on the ship are freed and established Africatown that still exists today. In 1870, Governor W.W. Holden of North Carolina declared Caswell County in a state of insurrection. 1876, white terrorists attacked black Republicans in Hamburg, South Carolina, killing five. In 1914, Billy Exton, innovative black vocalist, was born. In 2000, Venus Williams defeated Lindsay Davenport and became the first black to win the women's championship at Wimbledon, Althea Gibson, 1958 triumph. On July the 9th, 1868, Francis L. Cordova installed the Secretary of the State of South Carolina and became the first black cabinet officer on the state level. 1893, Dale Hale Williams performed world first successful heart operation in Chicago Providence Hospital. In 1927, attorney William T. Francis named Minister to Liberia. In 1955, E. Frederick Morrow appointed administrative aide to President Eisenhower and became the first black to hold an executive position on the White House staff. In 1919, James Farmer, a leader of the Freedom Movement, preferred his core, Congress of Racial Equality, of the 1960s, died in Fredericksburg, Virginia at the age of 79. Also on that date, your host, Bumani Hero Jihad Shakir, was born on that day. That's my born day. You know, there was a couple of events. Hold up. Okay. There was a couple of events that happened in history during this week. You know, I'd like to shout out to all those that have listened to our broadcast in 2014. I would like to commemorate all the individuals in the respective communities who are educating themselves on all levels, who are currently growing in development and raising high degrees. I'd like to salute all the political prisoners and POWs who are currently behind enemy lines fighting for their freedom and liberation, as well as educating the mind and mass of the people behind the walls, as well as affecting the people on the streets. You know, and I thank everybody, you know, I thank everybody who been supporting us in our broadcast, as well as supporting Jordan University. You know, this show tonight is going to be a very interesting show in regards to, we have four beautiful sisters, four esteemed sisters from different backgrounds and different areas of the globe. They're going to be talking about different things such as African women rights, the treatment of women, African women contribution to the struggle, the revolution, politics, so forth and so on, and basically how we see things from a different perspective, right? You know, I would like to, I'm going to tell who all going to be on this panel tonight, you know, that were orchestrated by Sister Iyoba, Ifa Bume, out of Soldier, out of Fume. The sister orchestrated and put this together for this contribution. I also want to have Sister Obe. Olowagbo Lafumu Ifa Sade Asa Aluse Sunde. Also Sister Alori Tade, I think it's Oya Lumi, and also Sister Oshishunde Alusagun. You know, so if I made any mistakes in that, y'all still can correct me when I bring y'all on. Now I'm about to open the line for the sisters so they can greet everybody and introduce themselves. Hold up. Open up the line now. Okay. Okay. If I boom, your line is open.
Shalaf, yeah, brother. Yes. Well, you said my name, but yeah, very good. Yes, it's just, it's still like, yeah. You know, we see we have much journey to go for the sophonics that needs to be properly on our tongue. Even I struggle. But yes, I'm Yeoba, okay. Not Yaoba. Yaoba is the grace of Yashanla of Oyutunji African Village. That is the head queen's big mother, you know. But I'm Yeoba, Ifabumi, Olubibi, Adesoji, Adefumi. And so, yes, so I am the daughter of Oba Funtala Adefumi and the daughter of the first Olori of Olujoji African Village, Olugumi Adesoji. And I brought along some of my good friends who really are about love. We're about this whole panel that I wanted to put together that I'm so gracious for, you know, your love spirit and your soul to allow this to happen. It's about, you know, what I'm constantly seeing and feeling. And these are spiritual women, not just your regular run-of-the-day sisters that's just sitting around just having tea and talking. These are spiritual sisters who are connected to the universe, who are connected to the earth, you know, that are walking realms and things of that stature. But they're very strong, independent women also in this Western world that, you know, we've been dealt with. And so I put this panel together by way of you, of showing that we can fix our own issues by loving ourselves, but this is how we have to have. You know, sometimes there's need for soft love and there's need for hard love. There's all formats of love. And these beautiful queens, when we start talking about the pain and the hurt and the generation upon generation of suffrage and mind chains and break-ins and things, you know, this is what this format is going to be about. It's not about attacking anyone. It's about saying, hey, here's the issues that are addressed, but here's what the youth. And because I deal with the youth in the Yoruba Nation in West Africa, I deal with the youth here in California. You know, I deal with youth that's on my page that reach out to me that, you know, need spiritual talking to, things like that. Then working with patients who have mental crisis that are youth age, this is something that's very close to my heart. And so I'm just blessed and thankful to the Orishas and the ancestors, all of Dumari, that we are allowed to have this. So thank you for allowing me, brother. I'm on the way.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, ma'am. I open all the other sister lines too. Y'all sisters can speak as well. You know, introduce yourself, tell the people a little about yourself before we get started. Open all y'all sister lines. All y'all sister lines are open. Go ahead.
Hello. Let's introduce the Olori of Oyutunji African Village. Grace Tade, can you please introduce yourself for me?
Alafia Bobo Inya, Alafia Ire Obirin, Adupoi Pupa, thank you for having us tonight. My name is Olori Tade Oyelumi, and I'm the daughter of Alaga Awu Chief Adiemi Oyelumi, and the daughter of Oyafumike Ogunlano. I am a priestess, a Shango priestess, a mother, a spiritualist, a herbalist, a philanthropist, and a worker for the community. And so I'm here to talk about, you know, whatever we can get into tonight positively. So thank you guys for putting this panel together, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Okay, and then I want to, okay, bring out Oba Ifashade. Can you give your full title and address the audience of who and exactly what you are, your grace?
Greetings to everybody. Thank you for this, putting this panel together. My name is Her Royal Majesty Oba Oluogbo Faluwe Ifashade Olotunde Egbeyemi. I am the Iyalode of Shona Lawoye of Ibadan, Nigeria. And, you know, I'm here, I speak about love. My message is to change the vibration of this planet with love. However, we can do that collectively and supporting one another and empowering one another as we do it.
I'm sure, I do pray. So also I wanted to also introduce her Divine Empress, Oshunede.
Alafia, Your Royal Majesty, I do pray Your Royal Grace. Thank you for creating this platform, which is very short notice for I. And we want to greet all of our Oloris, my Olori Tade, Kabiyesi, the Oba there of Atlanta. Forgive me, Ia, for not saying your title correctly, but we greet you. And we greet our Shakwar. We want to say the king's name correctly. Can you please say your name for me?
Bumani Ihiru Chahad Shakir.
Shakir. Alafia. Greetings on behalf of the ancestors. I am a priest of the ancestors of 30 years. I am the goddaughter of the Obawaja, our father of the Yoruba restoration of North America. And we are here to remind our people the importance of understanding we are the ancestors' return, and we are the ones we have been waiting for, and we are on a great assignment, and that is to understand the effects of abuse and trauma, which the scientists are now telling us 500 years of trauma is enlarged in our cellular. And so we're here representing the aspect of the antidote to the suffering. And now we're also dealing with the bio-warfare, and that's another a conversation that needs to be talked about. And, of course, we can't do it all here in one session. But we thank you, Your Majesty, for having this very important platform because we are the mothers. We have to heal. We have to heal our families. We have to heal ourselves. And we are in the motion of healing as we are actually healing others. I do pray. Oh, yes, I'm also a priestess of Hashem. I'm also an author, a grandmother. Wrote my first book at the age of 19, The Breath of Life Revealed to the Black Woman. My foundation is that of the Nation of Islam. Yes, okay, I think we covered that. Ekabo, I do.
Okay. First, I want to thank all your sisters for coming on, your sister, mother, queens, goddesses, empress, for coming on here and gracing our radio show with your presence. I want to thank you for all the work you contributed in the past, the work you contributed in the present, and the work you contributed in the future, right? And I salute all your efforts, and I thank y'all for educating the mind and mastering the people, right? This is a very interesting time within our history, especially in regards to it, the waking up a particular consciousness, and all the opportunity and potential we have to do better than what our ancestors and our elders did, especially in regards to the sophistication of technology, the assets, the community, people all around the world. You know, so we're in a better condition, but it's on us to make our nation, our people, the best that we can be, you know, and to be reminiscent of all our greatness that our ancestors have accomplished and all our elders accomplished. Yeah. All the work is on us. It's all we're doing.
That's right.
Nobody else.
And And if we don't do everything properly right, then we lose things along like tradition, culture, and the spirituality. Like right now, I'm going to ask the grace of Oyutuji African Village to go ahead and pour a libation and give prayer to open the floor for us to begin. This is something that we as traditionalists, we do this before we start any major opening of things, stuff, especially think of the stature. So, Grace, can you go ahead on and begin? Joe Wolf.
Oh, Lafayette, I have only tutu right here. Oh, da. Omi tutu, ona tutu, le tutu, tutu, laro le. All of my, Mogiba Bobo, Ibashe, Eshu Laroye, Ibashe, Ogunogunye, Ibashe, Shango Kavoka, BAC, Ibashe, Mimi, Ashun, Oreye, Yenyo, Ibashe, Oya, Yasa, Epa, Oya, Yasa, Ibashe, Mubatala, Ibashe, Olosu, Ibashe, Yenosa. Ibashe Bobo Ire Orisha Timi. Kinkamashe Omejite. Kinkamashe the Alasin Oyo. Kinkamashe the Obaba Oyotunji. Kinkamashe say your priest name, Shango Obalaki. Kinkamashe
Kinkamashe
and I want it to keep us in positive love and light. Mojuba Bobo Ire Ancestors Timi. Mojuba Bobo Ire Ancestors Timi. Mojuba Bobo. Everybody say their last name. Bobo Iwe, Jogo. The floor is open. We say, I do play Pupa.
I do play Pupa for the caller. So, Bala, so now we're going to start. So, can you go ahead and let us know what's the first topic you wish to go ahead and go? So, as this is here, can we go ahead and do the concerns? Because, like I said, I know we're all chomping at the bits. Because I know me, myself, just now getting my voice back. I know that the situation right now with our children, our youth, of the safety.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was one of the questions that you was on the floor, ladies. And so when it comes to the safety of our children, the safety of our culture, tradition, and spirituality, And we know that our children, no matter what we say, no matter how many times we do a march in the street, when they put 60 to 90 bullets in our children, and we are asked to look the other way or forgive, and that way that old chain on the brain allegoric situation that they say, oh, well, you know, leave it to God. Yes, well, God's saying, I sent to your ancestors to wake up now. I sent to your ancestors DNA to understand now. So I'm not saying to, well, you know, take orange, but in the cultural world that we come from, we go to Ogun and we teach our children how to shield and protect themselves. And so this is one of the areas that a lot of people, you know, forget to want to tell their children or don't want to pass down or want to keep hidden. That's why you see a lot of the Babalawos now in a different region of the world are telling on these rabbis and these pastors and these preachers and these imams that's back doing, sneaking, getting readings and then going to front and saying all bad type stuff. So on this subject, it's about, you know, the safety. So, great queen, we know that our children are being gunned down.
Yes,
we know that the laws are written against us. So how do we fix this in the manner of the spiritual way and the culturalistic way to help and to pass this word, to help everybody to begin to help us, to help ourselves?
Yes, Your Grace. We had an elder call us, so we kind of moved away from the Baba. I had called, concern, and as one who has been in the revolution since I looked at roots at the age of 7, and we have our program, we were always in the light of knowing the importance of separating, and so this is where we at. We must. Now, me, myself, now that's my opinion, is that we need to separate out of the grid, out of the people's program, because they're going to do what they're going to do. And so I say separate on city and states, as our Godfather envisioned New Africa, city and states. We must govern our own cities and towns and teach our own children. I homeschooled my children in the 80s. So I know it's very possible. Communities can come together, pull their resources together, and separate out of these people's jurisdiction. Excuse my my mouth. thank you, Your Grace. You know I'm having some dental work, Your Grace. But yes, yes, because they're already programmed to do what they do. And, yeah, we're not going to do any more marching. No, we don't have to do any of that. No, we remove ourselves. And to keep our children safe, that's what I feel, is to separate out of the system. Forming our own villages, forming our own communities, It's simple. Mm-hmm. Our ancestors did this.
Yes, but in the interim of everything right now, Bioba, what is your opinion right now on how would you say we as a people, as the mothers who are sitting at this table trying to come with a plan to make sure we make our children safe in the frequency that they can understand and that we meet everybody at where they're at when it comes to the culture, tradition, and spirituality of their own ancestral, you know, walk, their own journeys and spiritual divinity walks?
You know, it's a challenge right now because of what they're facing. You know, children are sponges. So the first thing you have to do is start to instill in them the knowledge of their own power. Because that's one thing that growing up, we're never taught the root of our own power, the power of self. When you understand self, you know how to not allow somebody else to manipulate you. But when you're faced with so many fears is what we're living with, it's kind of hard. So the first step is education. Education of knowledge is who you are, what you're about, and your own divinity. Because when you have, when you're empowered with that knowledge, it gives you the ability to make different moves and different choices. So, yes, the system is messed up. The system you see every day is something always going on with our people. Yet, if we have the knowledge and the power be going on. And the reason why it wouldn't be going on is because they wouldn't be able to continue perpetuating these stories if we had knowledge of self. When you don't have knowledge of self, they can tell you anything. And henceforth, this is the way we keep going now. So the first step, again, is education. Education is the key. Knowledge of self is the key. knowledge of true self, not just the education that they give you in schools, which we know is very limited. I work in the school system, so I know it's very limited. So knowledge of self, your ancestry, and knowledge and the power of who you are. And again, that space of love. If we don't know, understand that love is our first tool, first weapon, first energy, first power, that takes you a long way. That gives you the wisdom. That gives you the knowledge to do more things. So the first step, again, is education, educating these children about their own power so they don't have to make certain choices. You feel less empowered when you do certain things because you don't think you have any choice. But when you know that you have another choice, you make different choices.
So then the system that we have in the school system, like there's no power, if you can't pray in the school, you can't even do the Pledge of Allegiance in the school. And that's one way that, you know, that is an indoctrination of what you want your children to know and understand and continuously follow through on and fall upon on. So now that that's been removed from the school system and there's this big fight about allowing the true knowledge, the true truth of, like, say, people don't know, like, Marie Antoinette was black. She was a sister. So stuff like history like that, because it was so interwoven and embedded of lies, now it's like, well, no, we know it's a lie. We don't care it's a lie. We're going to continue to pass this lie on. Where it's like, well, no, we don't want to continue to do that. So now you have it to where they're afraid for the culture about children, the culture and the religious aspect. The religious aspect meaning the rules that you follow are not the same rules as mine. Because when you're dealing with Ifa, when you're dealing with the 13th OG, can somebody's speaker can be turned down? Thank you. So when you're dealing with the educational system, because remember, we can put in our own syllabus of what we want our children to be taught. And there is a way around it. You can teach children without hurting another nation on their going off the facts of what they did, but it's shown from an educational form. That's like with the movie Bigger Than Africa. And so, like, when it comes to the educational system and the art system and the cultural system, like, that would be a question for, in order for us to get to the indoctrination of having self-love and understanding self-power, that would be a way for us to get into the educational system. But because we're being blocked, how can we as the mothers, you know, these are questions I'm asking all mothers globally, because we're probably not going to figure out in one, you know, a whole episode in the conversation. But Grace, you know, Tade, you know, being in Oyetunji and you seeing the children, how they're coming in the village and they're trying to learn the ways of the Orishas and how to salute the ancestors. And then they also have a school system there. You know, you with the indoctrination, do you feel that the school system that we see right now in front of us with the Western society, that the way it's going and the way things are falling apart versus that was going on in Oyetunji with its situation of trying to get, you know, people to allow their children to be taught and then, you know, things of that stature. How do you see us fixing that part?
I think one of the most important things is because of a lot of parents is no matter what, we would like everybody to try maybe homeschool or maybe some co-op school that they can do together where you can educate your children yourself. But if we keep it real, a lot of people in our community cannot do that right now. But I think what we can do as a community is create these national and international rites of passage programs where we're making it really cool for, you know, 0 to 7 children. We have a whole program where we're following them from 0 to 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7, and they're graduating each Saturn return, so 0 to 7, 7 to 14, 14 to 21, 21 to 28, until they're actually an adult, and we set them free at 28. I think it's very important because this is African traditional lifestyle. So we forgot.
But why at 28, my sister? Can you elaborate to me? Why would you say the age of 28, not 18? Can you talk to me about that? What's the significance of
18,
that, and how would that help our children?
18 is definitely an American or Western view system of when children, because they're still children, are actually grown. And it was meant to put them in the workforce to make more money. We know this is a capitalist society, and so they wanted to have more people out there in the field basically as possible. But scientifically, children who are 18, their brain cells haven't even finished growing yet. And so scientifically, our children's brain cells are not finished growing until they're about 25 to 28, meaning they don't even have logical thought processes yet. So if you're putting a child out there to war, you're actually giving the child alcohol.
It's like giving a child alcohol is like planting a field, a garden, and then cutting it down as soon as it grows. Planting a garden and cutting it down as soon as it grows. You're not harvesting.
Hey, wow.
The brain cells are growing and you're killing them immediately because they're not even finished, you know, doing what they need to do. And so scientifically, our people, every one of us, are not adults until we're 28 years old. And also in African traditional spirituality, we've said that many times. And if you look in astrology, we also say that. And so we're going to go with as above, so below. And basically covered our children as much as possible, you know, until it's time for them to really go ahead and get out there in this world, in this American society, which we know is not friendly to them. So that's why I say 28.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Mamoniehu, this is your show. You being a black man, how do you feel about what we're saying right now? Hello?
Freeline, what'd you say, Tulsa?
I was saying you, it's your show, and I was asking you that, you know, on how we are speaking as mothers, and basically you're the one who is being a black man, you know, born with the dogs on you already out the gate out of the womb a lot of times. Sometimes you don't even get to make it, you know, things like that. So how do you feel that we feel that, you know, young African-American men or men of any stature and female of any stature or any race shouldn't be let out of the house and be considered fully grown until they're 28 years of age, you know, only from the systematic on the astrology and also the human scientific fact and proof that the mind, that the way we're rushing our, basically our society to force our kids to be grown so quick and so fast and get on and move on with life and throw so much pressures at them, and their brains ain't even fully ready till they're 28, but we're doing it 10 years earlier. What do you think?
Well, in regards to the information is very accurate from the scientific perspective. It's also very accurate from the ancient perspective in regards to our ancient, what we want to term mystery schools or our ancient ways of life and our secret societies, right? So it is very accurate, especially in regards to when you have a lot of people that are considered the age of maturity, just because, according to what the government says, and when you're actually immature, they aren't prepared for society, they aren't able to do certain things, they don't know certain things as well, they're able to accomplish and achieve certain things because of what the government says about putting them out at a certain particular age considered to be grown and adult, right? So I'm very much unite in regards to what the sister said, and it makes a lot of sense, scientifically, realistic, and historic as well. So I very much unite with it, especially in regards to that the process that we have now in regards to our education system. It doesn't talk about it unless we educate our own people. Now, we educate our own people on an African-centered standpoint, or if it be an African-centered school, it be an African-centered homeschooling situation. If we educate our own people, then we can control the destiny of our youth and our children if we're doing it for our own. But as long as we submit to the American academic system, American legal system, we already understand and know that these systems are fueled by racism, hate, mental slavery, physical slavery, and so forth, so on, things that plague us and bring ills to our children and what
our
people.
That's
right.
Yes, sir.
So that basically my answer to the situation, right? I had
no
reason to listen to y'all.
That was a good answer. That was an excellent response. It was just like, but then I would follow up with a question like this. With all the money that's on the table, like there's money sitting at the United Nations, there's billions of dollars waiting for the diaspora to go and receive and retrieve, but it just seems as if there's blockage or some type of stoppage. And so there's a lot of thought process, and you're right, we do need to train our children. We do need to take back and give love to our children. Don't teach them this negative format. Teach them the positive format, things of that stature, not the nature-nurture factor in the schools. There's been more, you know, nature, kill or be killed, only the strong can survive, things of that stature. And then we're sending our children into war zones because, let's be honest, you can send your kid to school and not guarantee for your child to come home. And, you know, when they do return, it's all a blessing, you know, thank you. But a lot of people take that for granted, but as you see, this is happening because our children are snapping, because they've been going through systems, like you say, of education, of hate. And so, you know, hate this person. This person is better than you because of the color of their skin, or because they're a male, not a female, or because they're tall and you're short, or whatever the case may be. Your religion is
yeah, that's that brainwash, Nazi CIA brainwash. Speaking of your word, right? Speaking of your majesty.
Benny, no, exactly. And so that's what I say. So we, as the mothers of this planet, our job is to push the vibration of love. So in our school system, let's say we had a school system, and in this school system, we would, you know, as far as the children, we would treat them all as if, like, you know, because you're a male child, that does make you no better than the other. So the female is not subordinate to the male. But in the society that we go to, we have that. So that's something that we need to fix. Then you also have this, well, if you have family, have money, and have wealth, and you're better than this. Well, no. Why don't we also implement back in systems that help to build up the communities, like teach people to be a small tech license, things like that for our children. So we as a people can't keep looking for the government. We have to say, okay, let's put this together. You understand? And when you start looking from the educational, and you understand, like, while we're screaming about, oh, well, we need to, you know, not teach our kids this, not teach that. No, let's teach the truth. You know, like right
That's
now,
right.
Everybody is looking over to, you know, and this is not to get off subject, but like with the Ukraine, everybody's looking at Ukraine war, and it's very sad and horrible. But nobody's turning around and looking how the Fulani are walking into Yoruba, and they doing certain things in the Yoruba lands, they're doing certain things in the Igbo lands, things like that. So what make their war more better than our war? That means that why do they want to be learned and taught on how to defend and protect? But you won't let us be learned or taught about how to defend and protect. You translate all our books that you come from in whatever language only into, you know, a spiritual, like when it comes to Christianity language, but not into the science of defense. So how do we do this, ladies? Yeah, so how do we fix that, ladies? Is anybody on the line?
Yes, Your Grace. That's Bridget May.
Is Grace Tade there?
Benny.
So on the question that I'm asking, as far as with all, like, everything is pushed forward as far as the Western, let's see what's going on with them, like with the examples that I was given. So now how do we turn it back around to let's make our information about what's going on in our world and our children and what wars is coming for us, not just in Europe, but also in Africa, to prepare our children and to help our children on that culture, tradition, and spirituality format. So, how would, as mothers, how would we push love into that frequency?
He who controls the media controls the mind. So more of this, and then getting together and bringing our influence together to create, like, an actual diaspora news network where people are actually turning to getting the information from us, by us. Marcus Garvey movement was popular because he had a media outlet to get to his people. Frederick Douglass movement was popular because he had a media outlet to get to his people. The Nation of Islam is popular because they have a media outlet to get to his people. So when we're looking at African traditional communities, where is our media outlet to get to the people? We are missing that. And so if we can create this outlet, we can get to the people.
I was going to say you have to teach them the truth of what's really going on. You know, there's a lot of fear that's been put out there, but they have to know the truth. But in being the mothers and being the spiritual aspect, we have to give them reasons why this is happening. You know, when a people are oppressed for so long, there's a reason why. It is not just because, you know, people want to just keep getting higher and higher. There's a reason why they want to suppress our own freedom, our own freedom of knowledge, freedom of self. So when you go into that spiritual aspect with the prayer and the understanding of who you are, that empowers you. And when you're empowered, then you can make better choices, like I said. So first, yes, you teach them about the atrocities, the truth of what's going on, but also the spiritual aspects of why this is happening. And like Laurie Tade was saying, make sure that we have an outlet for them to come to get that wisdom from, to get that knowledge from, to get that news from. So when the media are spitting their information, and a lot of it is messed up, we have our own to talk about our own stuff. Because remember, when they're telling the stories about us, they don't tell it from our perspective. They tell it from their perspective and make us look bad. So we have to tell our story. We have to be the ones to tell our story, but from a spiritual perspective. And that's the truthful perspective to know why we're going through certain things. Because sometimes we have to go through certain things to educate ourselves, to learn about some things, you know. In order to get to the other side, you have to go through that storm. So that storm is that educational piece that coming out the other side is where the liberation is. But you have to understand it. And that's where the prayers, the spirituality, understanding of all of this comes from. But we have to lead with the truth. We cannot keep hiding it. And that stems from self, wanting to know that in ourselves first, in order to be able to give that to others, in order to give that to our children, in order to instill that in our children. So.
I see. So, again, I'm going to switch. I'm going to kind of throw a curveball here. You know, recently they overturned Roe versus Wade. And don't forget the, you know, the mitochondria of the planet, the first mitochondria was the black woman, and from that many other women fall from that. And so, therefore, the mitochondria of the planet is the women. The women is the reason why everything moves. So you have, it's like this, they're saying, if you have a stagnation nation that's all about male dominancy and fighting and things of that stature, it's like, where's the women? What do the women think? Well, we don't listen to the women, and then that's why they have the atrocities and things that they have. Then you go look at communities and societies who allow the women to rule, and there's more nature, there's more nurturing there. The educational system is really great. You know, the healthcare system is great. Things like that. Because why? Because the mother is always worried about the children. So if you have a smart and strong, educated woman that you allow to see as your equal, your nation thrives. But if you have a woman that you keep covered up and hushed up and say, you know, your ideas don't count, or even they don't have to be covered up. They can just be like, you don't get to talk. You don't get no rules. And I'm going to tell you who you can, how you can have kids. I'm going to tell you when you're going to have your kids. You have no rights to your body. You have no rights to nothing. So in that case, you have that system of that community, that society that begins to crumble, because you cannot have strong, educated women that had something that you take from them, whereas you had those women who went along and got along but didn't understand, like, these are the things that are going to be lost when we remove this. So our American system, we are went forward to backwards. We were a progressive nation. We were looked at as we were moving forward when it comes to, you know, women, as well as, you know the actual fight that we have when it comes to culture, when it comes to the skin tone, comes to, you know, my religious rules and belief over yours. You know, that along with the gender situation. And so now here we have it in America, who's supposed to be the beacon on the hill, beacon on the light, the smartest culture, the smartest, you know, with the smartest women moving forward. Don't forget, it was the black women that put up a whole entire, you know, astronomical, you know, going to the moon, Apollo 13. You never heard of that because they were women. You heard of the men that they educated. You heard of the men that they showed how to do things. But you didn't hear of these actual four sisters who did the great thing. So in this society where we're at right now, having said all what I said, looking at us as the mothers of this planet, the mothers of one of the greatest nations that you can see are beginning to fall and crumble, you know, how would you right now with them removing things from us, how do we make them go ahead on in a loving manner, say, I tell you what, you took this from me, what would you take from them, but in a manner to where you could show the frequency of love but also balance? Can anybody speak to that? You quiet.
I'm
like
sorry,
this.
I'm still digesting Her Majesty. Whoa. Let me see. Ecouche.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
one thing, and this might not be.
Go ahead, sister.
No, I was just saying one thing, and this might not be a very popular opinion, but sometimes for us as people of color in this land, some of these rules and regulations that they have up was never for us in the first place. We can get caught up in it a little bit, but at the same time, we don't have certain liberties that they have in the first place. And so we have to start at where we are, period. And that means concerning ourselves again with our community. And not kind of having your, you know, turtle face in your shell and not knowing what's going on around you, but strengthening our community. So these things don't really matter to us that much anyway.
Well, then how about this? Because don't forget, we are the chattel children. We are the chattel children of slaves. And so when you look at it from, well, 90% of us coming from the Western Hemisphere, the continent of Africa, and you see, like, right now how, you know, Nigeria has great areas and the culture is trying to slowly come because, you know, when I went there, it was, like, slowly dying, you know, the dominancy, you know, of Islam and Christianity and Catholicism. And when you start looking to see, like, look, at the motherland, it's still infested. Nothing has changed. It's like you have a blueprint to your history and you're continuously repeating your history. You get what I'm saying? And now here we are. Us descendants here, we're still kind of in that mindset, but what we did is we went backwards as a nation because we're looking at it from a perspective as, well, we need more of these type of people to have kids, but we don't need these type of people, but we're going to let them continuously fall apart. And when you go over into the region of West Africa, how I tie it together is you got a certain system that's shining for a certain set of people and everything else is allowed to fall apart. And now that we see this falling apart and you're telling me, well, you know, here in this country, these women don't have no rights. We're not listening to them because if we listen to them, we can save ourselves. And that's just stupid. Why would we want to save ourselves? And so when you come here to America, you know, our women were doing so great. And I seen that the man seen literally the change in the elevation. Everybody was like, oh, the great, you know, white race war is coming. No, the great gender war is here. And I don't mean to use the word war because we shouldn't always be at battle, but on this one it is. That's why they're slowly trying to take away our female rights. It's like, okay, we've been doing fine, mind our own damn business. You know, you should ask the masses about being in my womb. You should ask the masses of, if I give birth to this child, how am I going to help this child so this child don't grow up and be hating everybody because it was a violent, you know, rape or something of that stature, and this child don't come to fruition and realize who it is and want to go out and get a firearm and go ahead and shoot somebody but can't handle liquor. You know, it's like our rules. So it's like when you start looking at, like, from day one, when we as the women of this planet start to giving birth, we should be able to say, well, listen, how this came about, is this my life, or is this this, or is this child going to be this way? Because you get readings and things of that stature, because all life needs comes, but don't forget, all life is not guaranteed. And that's what people, you know, I see here right now, us women talking, you know, I don't mean to grab the floor on this, because I'm kind of like been chomping, trying to go around, but I just had to go straight at this. Because it really bothers me here in this country, as you know, as many women fight for Roe versus Wade, women dying, things like that. And, you know, because if I have this child, my life will end. So do I want to end my life and let this child be born with my other kids, be motherless, or do I go ahead and do this? Or does my body go ahead and abort something, and then therefore is it my shame because it's a God, these religious things. So, but when you are bringing these people to the earth and you're not getting them divine and read upon, and then they start coming out. Like, that's what you're seeing. It's like everything that we've been told, and we see the warning signs, they're written right there, and we're dancing all around, and we see them. As the community, as the mothers, why are we ignoring it? Like, why aren't we being more boisterous? Why aren't we saying, okay, no, I see this, and you took this right from me. You took my womb right from me, and now you forced me to have something. And now that I have this individual, I'm telling you this is going to happen when this comes. How do you warn them? Because it's difficult for people to understand when they talk to priests who can divine and talk directly to the heavens and tell you this is this person's role, this is this person's destiny, this person's going to do X, Y, and Z. You understand what I'm saying? So you mothers who are spiritual mothers, who know about, you know, about the Orishas, who know about the ancestors, who know about divine realm divinity, how do you stop something like that from the root cause? And like, as far as helping us as the Africans to get it right for the rest of humanity, so we can go ahead on and realize that we need to stop taking rights from everybody and leave the balance of, listen, my body is my body. As long as I'm not coming to hurt you or get inflicting harm to you, then you should leave me alone. Because the readings that we're getting, we know. So, like, I know I'm kind of like, it's like I'm trying to word the question by not insulting but not bringing up stuff because I know I have to be careful. So, like, but, like, you, yeah, in Atlanta, you deal with children. You see young females. You see all of this situation going on right now. Like, how do those students, when you deal with them, you know, when you ask them these questions, how are they answering and responding to you?
Honestly, because I work with elementary school children. And
I'm sorry.
No, but it starts there. That's the thing. When you when you're dealing with elementary school children, you have, this is where they're sponges. That's where you instill a foundation in them. That's where they start to read, write, and understand math, all of that thing. That's, you know, just to hold a pen, everything starts there. So this is where you have to instill certain things in them. But the biggest part is that emotional support. If they have no emotional support, that they're damaged. Trying to go back to piggyback off of what you were saying, for how long have they got things incorrect about us as a people? How long exactly have they been telling us who we are, what we are, how we are? How long have they been doing this for? For years, for centuries. And they've got it incorrect. You know, and because they've got it incorrect. Exactly. So now, again, and I don't want to keep flogging the same horse, but, well, not even but, we have to have knowledge of self. A person can tell you who you are all day, every day, and you can believe them because you have no knowledge of anything else. But if you have knowledge of love, that's why they, that's what these, and it's a sad thing about men making decisions about a woman's body. Because this is their assumption that we don't know ourselves enough to be able to take care or to be able to handle this.
There you go.
Because there's so many different narratives as to why a body should be able to do what it needs to do. And then somebody say, no, you shouldn't have that right. Because I don't think, or we don't think, you know enough. But again,
crazy, right?
Yes. But again, it goes back to, we've never been taught that we need to know ourselves. And if we're going back to the mothers, if we're going back to that spirituality, we have to understand that the source of all things is the wisdom, is love. And if we know self, we know all of that. So that means that wisdom that wants to come through us to make a better world is accessible to us. But we first have to know who we are. We cannot fight a fight if we don't know who we're fighting or what we're fighting for. We have to know who we are. And that's where this educational piece comes from. That's where we have to start. We have to start with ourselves first. These children in the school system, the educational people, they can sit in their big offices and tell you what the teachers are supposed to, the curriculum that the children are supposed to know. And when you're in the classes, you see it doesn't work. You see the things that they're teaching the children does not work. And you have to find other ways and other means to teach them. Yet, they sit in those big rooms, get those big monies. Because remember, school right now is a corporation. This is not education like it used to be. It's a corporation. You have a CEO. That means we're making money. This is all about money. Same as the prison system. It's all about money. So
the prison system is tied to the educational system that drives our children. And so now, like, my whole thing is, like, that's why we need to start having spiritual, like, alchemy schools all around, you know, in every country, every region, so they'll understand. Start them off with the truth in the beginning and the fact about everything when it comes to the spirituality. Let them know who their Orisha is when they're born. Let them know their role of destiny. You read these things, you'll understand. Before 1410, when the Muslims, the Fulani Muslims and all the Arab Muslims, when they started coming in to, like, Yoruba lands in West Africa, the Dahomey area region. Do you know that every child, when they were born, they had a naming ceremony, they had a destiny reading, they had all these things, and every morning they did prayers, they followed away, so there never was no scamming, nobody was ever broke. They did the bartering system, you know, you grow this much, I grow that much, I make this, I make that. Money was never incorporated until all of a sudden they started coming in and showing them how to divine. I forget the name of the board, I'm so sorry, but when you divine on, ladies, help me, help me. And then they would be divining, and then when they started slicking, and that's when money was introduced to them. Look it up. It's not me telling you. It's like I got this when I was back in Western Nigeria in the Oyo Empire when the great Iku Baba Yeye, Ibaba Chinu, when he started breaking down to me how the actual breaking of the system of how the Oyo Empire and the Yoruba Empire began to fall. And it was all behind the putting this, the slave brain, the slave chains on the brain when you can no longer enslave the people themselves. And that's where we got to start, because they demonize our religion. They demonize everything about us to our children in the beginning. And so in the beginning, we need to be there from the beginning, like the EI was saying. And so how do we do that, ladies? Because we know the issue. We know what the problem is. So the answer is we began to build out more alchemy schools, more systems where self-sufficiency. We start holding more festivals. We teach women how to go ahead and do naming ceremonies because names have meanings. When you name your child, that name is a meaning.
Absolutely.
And you give your child the road to that destiny, you know, like these things. So, like for example, like in Atlanta, my cousin, Timi Boo, Akin Sheguno Uwolem, Jade Wright, Tiwalade, Sekul. Like, it's to see the children, they're so hungry. And my poor cousin, she worked like night and day. I'm surprised she ain't dropped for no sleep. You know, God bless her. You know, may the ancestors continue to keep her moving, and may the Orishas never allow nothing ever to happen to her and shield and protect her. But like her school, like we need similar schools like how she got. You have, what's the other sister in North Carolina, the queen. Oh, my God, I can't believe I can't recall the queen, and she just sent me an invitation. And she's the queen of North Carolina. She has a huge education. And when you start looking at those children and you start seeing
the Muhammad University in Chicago,
yeah,
is a great example.
So it's the Queen Queen?
Yes.
Okay,
now you see how her school is ran. You see how her children are balanced. You know, mm-hmm. And I feel bad because the Gullah Geechee Nation, Queen Quet, you see how she making you remember that language. They say, oh, that's the slave language. No, that ain't no slave language. She educates you. You know, that lie alone to get people to back up. When it's like, I'm going to tell you, your language is how you communicate to your people, your spirituality. So we'll say, oh, people are mental states because they hear and see things. Well, they'll send you into an indigenous, and they'll say, okay, well, you got a spirit. You got an ego, and let me help you. See, these type of things, instead of giving them a pill or giving them a shot and keep them doped up and drugged
up. That's right.
Doing the pissing and shit.
That's that mental stuff. Health issue. Exactly.
You
know, get back to that.
That's how it is. Yeah, because if you push back against the society, then there's something wrong with you. You have to be murdered or we got to put you on meds because you're crazy. Isn't it time, ladies, now to where we start rising these schools like Teeny Boo and Queen Quet and Queen, what's her name? I'm so mad I can't remember her name, but I'll call it in a minute. But at the end of the day, we need to start holding those type of schools and making those more available to teach people that it's okay to love who you are and know who you are. Because if we get those kids in the beginning, you see how we all work today. Because you can't run a game on us who know who we are. People say, oh, do you know what your name is? Yeah, I know what my name is. I've been having it since I had it. You know, things like that. So, like, what would be a suggestion for all of you ladies on the panel? Because I know we don't have all day to go back and forth and everything, but because these are certain things I want to bring up, because the root cause of all our problem is it stems from birth, and we need to break that chain and begin to manifest beauty. We need to dig up the negative root of them versus us. This is money over humanity, money over humans, and we need to breed the next generation of positivity. So how do we start?
That's that. You agree?
Yes, how do we start, like, how do we get more schools like Tiwa Lade? How do we do this? Anybody knows how to do that?
We must. Well, I agree.
Only Jimmy, sorry.
I'm into two, yeah. Well, this is Ocean Edek, Divine Empress Adupoy Pupa. So wonderful being stimulated. It's so great to have this conversation. It is well overdue. And so we are at the threshold of understanding the importance of ascertaining land. That's and we must, as heads, as leaders, as those who say we are kings and queens, you must get yourself out of what we would call the dead state of America. And they must see you as a sovereign. They must see you as a leader. So when you want people to respect you, you have to heal your people. For American people, I want to just say this. For American African-American people, it is a well-known fact that other heads of states know what has taken place with the inhumane acts against African-American people here in America. Not only slavery, okay, for all the hundreds of years, but we're also talking about the lobotomy. We're talking about the mental illness. We're talking about the Nazi experiment, CIA experiment. We're talking about a real break of the brain. And so we say, well, why are people cannot touch the stars? Why can't they be kings and queens? What happened to them? Well, they were disconnected. So we are also dealing with the physiological effects
of living under these worst. These are very evil demons that we, our family, our ancestors have to live under. So we are here to connect the source back to the soul. We have nine souls, as we are taught as a Google priest, that we come with nine souls. And so the universal soul, you have the ancestral soul, you have the, you know, you have different souls that come in one body, in one mecca. So we have to, we give thanks for our elders who taught us. I share your father, Kabisi, who taught us about the nine souls we come with. We just think we just come in to just, you know, most people do. Think that they just come to work and then, you know,
yeah.
401. No, that's not what the divine source, that's not the divine plan for the original people.
Exactly.
We were cut off. We were disconnected.
Exactly.
1920s, they started eugenics. They started eugenics. And Mr. what's this president said, he feared the day that the African-American people would wake up and find out what they did to our people. They fear the day that the Native people will wake up and find out what they did.
I say.
So that is, that is, God, see, I share, but that is what we're dealing with, is repairing the calabash, our human calabash. We have been broken from disconnected. So, yes, love is the adhesiveness. And if we all will vibrate on love frequency, we can definitely raise the energy, the frequency, and manifest all good things once again. Obviously. Asha?
And
the piggyback land. Take control of our
life. Go ahead, Queen.
And to also what Oba has said too, love thyself is very important. What I've noticed and what has affected us, what has affected our parents, what has affected our grandparents, is, like you said, Ashwinette, to a total lobotomization of ourselves. I call it psychological dysmorphia, where we can look in the mirror as ourselves and not like ourselves because of what they've done to our brains. It is very important to teach our children to love themselves, teach our little black girls to love how they look, with their hair that's growing out their head, to love how they look, no matter what skin tone they are. It is very important to teach our little black boys to love our little black girls, no matter how they look, no matter what skin tone they are, no matter what hair texture they are. We have gotten so far away from that and so far removed that we can't even create black families anymore.
And it was systematically done, love.
To be fulfilled, we have to create positive black families. That is the foundation of everything that we do. And so if you have our males and our females not even liking each other, then what you going to do? So we got to start there, start with the children, start again with teaching and training them. And like one of my girlfriends said, start doing the co-op season, you know, systematically start in
your
neighborhood. Or start with Facebook and start meeting up with women online and say, hey, it doesn't matter if it's only four students first. When I was doing Yoruba Royal Academy in Orchard, there were three students. But guess what? It was some of the best 2 years of, you know, fun for the children, fun for us, and they still talk about the foundation and the learning that they received that's helping them thrive in American school system right now.
That's excellent. So here's the thing, though. Like I guess, like right now, there's, like, a lot of reparation bills that's on the pike coming down and stuff. And you guys know I do poke the bear a lot. I do go to the Capitol and stick my finger in the eye of the governor and say crazy things in California.
That's right.
And things I say, I get in good trouble, you know, in other people's states and a lot of other people's country. You know, it's just me. But I would say to the issues, like, you know, let me get you guys, you know, on this advice on this. When it comes to us mothers here, knowing what we've seen and knowing that we have temples, you know, like we say, we have schools, like, you know, you have Tiwalade, you know, Alchemist School, but then you also have, like, the Olori Temple in Florida, and you have real priests and things like that. So, like, I would suggest maybe we, because Oyutundji is very huge village, very authentic. A lot of people can't afford to travel right now. Y'all see the price of gas. Things like that, you know, like, why would we not start having online schools globally, you know, like a Yoruba education, like here. Like, I know there's a few teachers in New York City that, you know, have, like, they go into the school, but they just teach straight Yoruba or the language of their people, which preference. because if you go to any of the schools here in high school or college, your foreign language is either French, you know, Russian, or Spanish, but you never, you know, Fon, never Ibor, never Yoruba, never, you know, none of these are the traditional language that our ancestors spoke. And so when you hear, like, even when our brother, as great as his brother is, he don't have the sophonics on how to pronounce our names because he was taught in the Western school, just like how they broke the Indians. This is another way how they broke us. They basically did worse to us, even though the Indians, they came and, you know, removed them from their land. But don't forget, how did they get their land? See, a lot of people don't want to know the true history because when you go further back, you know what I'm saying? You see, there was Africans here, like California was named after an African queen. But not to get off subject, but when they was breaking the family, you know, especially the African family.
The subject, got you.
You know, okay. So I'm trying to catch it, you know. But they broke the family by splitting the family and ripping the family. And so, you know, we was taught a lot of negative things. If we say our child is bad, ain't nobody going to want us, and that way it's guaranteed our child get to stay with us. But we don't know that we're cursing and casting on our child because we are Ali children. We are, you know, the actual Messiah, the Redeemer, those who are come to speak. We are the magical children of this time. That's why we're speaking. That's why this awakening is happening. That's why you see so many brothers not afraid to die. Now they turn and realize, hey, this Jesus that you speak of, his name was Eshu-Eshuah. He was a Babalawa that was in the land of Kemite. And he studied these ways, and you got slip things, and therefore, you know, so on and so on. But now it's like those who have passed, those ancestors have returned, and now they walk in and manifest in the flesh. So we need to catch our children. And how we, I figure, like, I think that we should start holding schools how we catch and teach mothers on how to use the universe, use the elements of the earth to protect your child in spiritual form. Because they're already coming to the earth in a spiritual battle. So we need to teach them how, like, so these black men that are running out here, you know, make sure that, you know, don't just say go buy a lekki on the corner. Why can't we start having them start teaching it, like how they go out and give out rosaries? Why can't we have actual Babalawos or priests, you know, sit there and give out elekis when they see these young children, especially these young young under 21, seeing they can't catch a break. They can't even go to school without being, you know, gunned down. You can't even anything. So, like, sort of how to shield and protect yourself. But also, yeah, but also at the same time, be cognitive and be able to be aware of to run and move, not just stand there and be sitting ducks. You get what I'm saying? Not just in, you know, be running from a bullet, but running from a lie of education that they're giving them at the same time. Like, how can we, like, what type of school or what type of system can we put together for our children to begin for them to feel the frequency of love and balance to make it radiate for it to continuously grow?
Asha, well, returning back to the earth, returning to the basics. Our children need to know how to grow food. Our children need to be husbandmen, children to the land, to the animals. Return, Your Grace, Your Majesty, I speak for the Igbo. Asha, we say we return back to the earth and we rebuild. And we build our empire, our righteous, holy sanctuary, sacred places on the earth. And be in harmony with Earth Mother because she is going through. She's going through a tremendous tribulation in her earth. She presses breaking. Her water is rising. So forget about them people and their system. I don't care anything about their system. They have never been friends with my ancestors. So I don't trust them with my children. It saddens me that my children, who I homeschool, have my grandchildren, these people system, and no, they are not learning anything. They are teaching them how to be robots. So we are responsible. We are responsible. We're trying to compromise with a system that is doomed. And what they want to do is take the last of our family and make them robots. Look at everybody going to get the shot. Sorry, Grace. Sorry, Your Majesty.
That's
my queen,
right.
My Majesty.
No, that's okay. Who is. You can speak on it. You're right. No, you can speak on it. I want to hear.
No, it's kind
that's
of
another
true.
Reason.
It's like,
yeah, it's the truth. It's to fruition. It's okay. It's not a Freudian slip. It was meant to come. You know, it is what it is. I do have a gag order, but in the end, I went to Ifa, and Ifa told me no, and I still did what I wanted to do, and I paid the consequence. But do you see, I had that option. Many billions of us don't have that option. You understand? Hard head, soft behind. My behind was a lot softer than what I thought it was. So... But you're right, teachable moment. And these are things that we have to start teaching our people. Even though, like, right now, it's to the point where we have such negative to where even our children, our daughters were being taught, like the one of the brothers, this the Oba that's down in Florida, the Ogolano. He was teaching his beautiful, which is my great-grandniece, was teaching her how to read the Pueleching. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everybody, I thought I was excited. Mm-hmm. I was like, look, this is a father taking time with his daughter. I saw it
that
from
that
sweet. Culture still rising, another generation. Then all of a sudden, people started coming for him, talking about, you don't teach a female, and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, well, first of all, you know, and I'm listening to how the men, how these men, you know, I'm trying not to get upset because, you know, my pressure in my voice.
Well, I got this.
But I'm watching how this is how we're supposed to be teaching our children to break the chain, you know, break the generational slave trade of the plantation ideology.
That's right.
And he's getting That's ridiculed right. because he taught a female. And it's like, oh, well, you know, they, well, what old dude says you can't read it? What's what? Tell me. He kept saying, well, where's the old dude? Because lack of knowledge. Everybody's mm-hmm. throwing and jibbling and jabbling, you know. And then you turn back around and you realize, hey, if we don't teach any of our children anything, we going to keep falling for everything.
Yeah,
so now
exactly. Nothing new under the sun.
So this father, exactly, but the father who's trying to wake up because it's the woman, but they don't tell you the reason why females don't get Odu because they bring Odu. You know, the womb.
I
the goddamn peace to have in the womb is the one that's open up everything. But, you know, they don't want to tell you, don't forget the Odu is the female. But once again, you have male patriarchal coming in and have conversations on matriarchal conversations. But nobody wants to get into that. But
example of the gender war.
Exactly. So we need to stop the gender war and make it straight and right. So it's like, yes, but here, this is why you don't do, but here's why you can do. You understand? And just because men feel that they have a right because they can overpower women don't mean just because you could don't mean you should. But I give this example of this gender breakdown, this gender attack on a father that all he wanted to do was just give straight knowledge to a child. So then that way the generational lineage line never breaks. It's even stronger. And because we have in such opposition, that's how we know we're getting right. But that's basically how we should be in every state, every city, every county when it comes to our children giving back. Whether you your DNA line is from West, East, South, or North Africa, you're an indigenous of that region. And you'll go back to the indigenous ways and you'll realize 90% of the people that they say are crazy are not crazy. They are really dealing with actual egg wounds. They are dealing with actual orishas that's in them that they don't even know that they're walking orisha people.
Ajago, God bless you. Iku baba yeye.
So maybe So I'm thinking. So what do you guys think? Maybe we should start inviting some real teachers down and like saying, "Hey, we'll put you on salary. We work out a way to put them on salary and come online and start educating the children, the new generation, and even those who wish, because you're never too old to learn. Your brain never stops learning until you know cross over." And things like that, because there's always a plan to fix everything, not a pill. Don't forget, the holistic war took, you know, the holistic ways away from us and gave us the pill with the side effects. And
that's
like
that
I
real
said,
witchcraft,
so,
the pharmaceutical business. We charge them. We charging them. All of them.
We paying them to trick us. That's trickology. We paying them
exactly.
to trick us. We paying them to make us sick and never fix us, never heal us. But patch us up, whereas the holistic medicine actually fix you and cures you. And that's another thing that, you know, that's another thing. But on the last subject, you know, anybody got any other suggestions about trying to work and trying to get a person on, get some teachers on salary, you know, online to make sure that, you know, they can come out online and like how you have a Walden University or you have like Phoenix, like, you know, what, you know, really ask the population, ask the Babalawas, your Nifas, the Petsabees, the Awals, you know, the Hoodoo, the Voodoo, the Santeria, the Condom Play, you know, Shango, you know, whichever religious faith that comes and attacks the Ishe world. I feel that we should begin more free educational systems online for people to understand and grasp and understand and not be spooked and scared. And I think we can begin to break the chains on the brains, especially in Africa, to get them to
knowledge
understand, stand up.
I said Obunda also. I
said. Because, I mean, and that and like when it comes to like the mathematical system and the financial system, they say we're in a recession. Well, black folks, we've been in that recession since we've been here, so we don't really understand that experience because, you know.
And our ancestors, we had nothing. In the 1930s, it was a total depression for our people, and they made it out, and that was through the wisdom and that was through the revolution. Revolution can always get you to the next level. So sometimes you have to be hungry. Sometimes you have to go through the tighten up. You have to see the devil for what he is. So now since we see the devil for what he is, now we must separate ourselves. It's not hard. We can rate our Black Wall Street, Oklahoma. I'm from the ancestors who walked the trail of the tears. We created. We are the ones who are from the Seneca village there in Harlem. We created our communities already. We ready to get back to work and creating our communities and stop giving these people and these robots. Don't you see they draining? They're wasting away. They cannot stand the sun. It's over with.
That's the end of when you start speaking like that, though.
Separation.
Yeah. What did you say?
Separation. We definitely. I said I'm definitely with the Garvey movement. Like all this.
Yes.
Into everything and every part of their culture. I think we've done that for so long, and it's an awakening that we don't have to do that anymore. I really don't understand why we're so pressed to be a part of their civilization or so-called civilization. We have our own.
Because we fought to, don't forget, the reason why we don't have separation from you know, when one of us was striving in this country where slavery ended for both sides.
Oh, definitely.
One side strived and one side didn't, because the one side that strived did everything and built everything. And so for the one that sat around and basically didn't do anything and told them what to do, lost out and checked out. So they had to put in place rules and laws in order to block and stop, much like they're doing right now. That's why I say I see things going backwards. Like how they took away Roe versus Wade, I said that never happened. When I kept telling people, remember, I said, they're going to take it. Oh, your grace, you'll know what you're talking about. Well, I guess I knew what I was talking about because they took it. Now the LGBT situation, they're about to go ahead and take that. That's going to be a whole different reform of all type of things and things. And then after that, next come, you know, your the 14th Amendment and the 13th, because, you know, you have to unmatter the 13th.
Gun.
You have to unmatter the 14th
and
the 13th. Well, and that's the thing. They're not going to never – the only thing they're going to do is they're just going to moderate better. They're going to realize that you can't give an 18-year-old a gun that's hot-headed and that's been taught hate all day goddamn day. But the same thing, that's how I get 21 years old and purchase a gun and still be hatred and negative. You understand? So that's why you have to get these kids in the beginning, especially in this country, to say, hey, you're all the same. Forget the skin tone, forget your gender. Because if another alien from another planet to say, I'm going to come take your planet, they ain't going to give a damn what religion, what female, male, or whatever. Everybody got to go like vultures. They're going to exterminate us like vultures. So we need to start teaching our children, male and female, from the time they fall out the womb, that there is no, you're not better than this one because of that. The only difference is you have this gender part, you have that gender part, but you're still strong as the other. You have your male societies, yes, they have to go through things. You have your female societies, yes, they have to go through things. Like you were saying, Grace Tade, like Iabola and, I'm so sorry, Obabola and Oshinere, like how they had no Ituji, like they have the female society and the male society. So because there's things that you teach females that get them prepared, you know, for life, whereas in men even there are certain things. So we have ripped all of that from us, and we're basically to the bare bone in this country, even in the Western educational system. So I really feel that as African-Americans, as diasporas, we're the key to returning everything back to the right way, because don't forget, we're the ancestors who are, we're the descendants of the ancestors that returned, who actually began everything here in this land to get it moving forward. The Wall Street, like you were saying, the educational system, because, you know, they want to tell you, oh, education system was starting in the Western world. No, it wasn't. Mansa Musa. He dropped away his gold in Egypt, and he felt so bad after he brought back 2 million fair-skinned Caucasianists. Slaves, and they all dropped dead, so he went on ahead and gave a school. Read up about, King Malcolm and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And you talk about
that.
Yeah, so it's like education, like how we can rattle that off. How do we get this to rattle to our children? This is the core of this whole conversation. This is why I want to bring, you know, ears from across the water. Like, I want to talk to, what's her name, Kubara Oluwa. She's out of the UK. You know, she's already, they already got their temples and they're working. In Brazil, their language, the Yoruba language is on the books. Their religion is on the books. How do we as Americans, how do we begin our children education system to get that done, ladies? How do we get that question and answer, please? Somebody help me.
We create our own system. We create just like the ears in the other countries who have taken control, and they have assimilated their own school, their own government. Forget about the people's government. We create our own. Our fathers did it. Our mothers did it.
Yeah, the people of color here in the diaspora have a very unique opportunity at this point. And so if I'm looking at it from an African traditional standpoint, the Nigeria population around the world in 2030 and 2050 is going to be number two and number three. So our communities have the opportunity to be like an Amish community and or a high Semitic Jewish community, but we have backup overseas finally, which is what we never had before, right? So we create this not only cross-cultural system, but we also are creating this cross-economical system with our brothers and sisters at home, learning from artisans, things of that nature, again, creating our own communities over here where we're so strong that the American police do not come in our community, Bow Garden, like they do, because they do not do that in Jewish communities. They do not do that in Amish communities. So we have the opportunity right now to do that and strengthen that. And I think as African traditionalists, we're at the forefront of that because the spiritual cultural community is what started this whole growth, African-Americans being, or diaspora Africans being interested in the culture and going over to Africa. So I think we're at the forefront of this change, and we need to continue to build the communities here in America and show people how it's done and continue to work with strengthening our efforts over there, overseas, so we can have a real backbone and a real backing.
Thank you, sir. So, yes, beautiful. That's right.
Brother Bumani. Brother Bumani. Where is the brother? Well, did we talk him off the show? You know, when we could talk
him. Yes, I'm here. I'm present, sister.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of took over the show there.
Oh, no, no. Everything good. It's running smoothly. Hey, you do your thing. I'm just serving the people. You know, I'm just serving the people. Do your thing, you know.
Yes, you are. Yes.
I know there's some people that might want to have questions, Grace.
Yeah, so do you want to see if somebody has any questions?
Okay. At this time, if anyone have any questions, statement of announcement, I want to get into Zagala. Please press one. I'm opening your line up at this time. Anyone have any question, comment, or statement, please press one. And the call number for this show is 516-387-1305. Okay, hold up. We got a caller. 678-468. Your line is open. If you have any questions, statements, or comments, please do it through the time. 678-468. Your line is open. Go ahead.
Okay, awesome. That's me. I have a question because I know I'm not sure who's asking it, but saying how do we start, right? And
yes.
My question is, how many people on the line that have children that are of age to start learning Yoruba? And start there. Have a teacher and just make sure, hey, my child is going to be online at 7 o'clock every Wednesday, and we're going to start teaching this class to help them learn Yoruba. And that's a start. I don't know how much things cost, but you can do a Zoom, you can do a Teams call, and all those resources are free. So if three people on here have one child or maybe even two, you can start your class there. And then build up from there because as your child starts to speak those languages, right, they'll start to talk to their friends. And they'll be like, oh, what are you saying? Hey, and I know this from experience because of my son. Once they start talking the language, they'll talk to their friends, and then their friends will be interested. Or they commune within the community, they'll be more interested. And then, boom, there you go. I'm not sure if there's a teacher on the line, but maybe use that person as a resource and say, hey, do you have 30 minutes? We can compensate you based on the students that attend the class. I mean, we want you to come and do it from your heart, and we'll do what we can, but this is just to start and build something that we didn't have or we don't have or what we used to have, right?
Yeah. Go ahead, little sister.
Very
good. What's your name again, sister?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Maisha.
Maisha, thank you so much. That's what I want to hear, you young mothers come out and speak. I have three sons and one daughter. A lot of us, all our children do have it, and thank you. I'm so glad that you came out because I want to hear more people with these great ideas, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ashe, Adupwe.
That's it.
Okay. You have anything else, sister, or that's it?
I don't have anything else, but if you have the class and it's online, I will most definitely have my son there. So I'll be looking at that.
Yeah. We have our first student.
Right. On everything. He will be there. No worries.
Yo, Barrow Academy online.
Let's go.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate. Beautiful.
No problem. Okay, we have. I'm gonna open up another caller. 614-285. Yeah, question, comment, statement. Please, is the line open? 614-285. Your line is open. Go ahead.
Alapia, 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 Alapia.
Alapia, niyo dupe.
Alapia, niyo.
I'm 70 years old. I'm blind. I'm in a wheelchair, and what I'm realizing is that how I've lived my life has prepared me for where I am right now. I lived in Oyatunji Village for about 9 months.
I say.
When my son, who is now 45, was on my back. He was about 6 months old.
What year?
Wow. My son that is 45 now
was
6 months old
1977, 78.
The Oyewole was just talking about this ear who was blind there. Oh, my God.
Thank you. So I got chill bumps right now. You know, I've co-founded 5 independent African-centered schools. All of my African naming ceremonies. I taught and educated all of my own children. I delivered all of my children at home, not in the hospital. And you got to watch what you do, because when you're doing things, people are watching you. And as a result of me stepping up and doing the things that I knew were necessary, other people wanted me to either do it for them or teach them how, which was amazing because I did everything through spirit. I didn't know nothing about no baby in the beginning. But I communicate with my ancestors. That's what we got to do. We got to go back to who we are. You know, we get so down when we're young. When I was 9, 10, 11 years old, Christians would beat me down. You into that spookism and rooster and blah, 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 blah. But I was doing prayers. I said, I don't know who I am. I want to know who I am. Can you send somebody to tell me who I am? And so El Haji Baikante, who's from Bring Karma Combo in the Gambia, comes to the States. And I'm listening to him lecture. I'm sitting in the back of the room. He walks up to me and he says, "You pray?" I thought he was asking, "Do I pray?" So I said, "Yeah." He said, No. "You make a prayer?" I said, "Oh, my God." He's here to answer my prayer.
Yes.
And told me who I was. And I was like, wow. You know?
But,
We have to continue to be who we are, practice what we preach,
come on,
investigate, ask questions. I ask questions like, not only who am I, but what is my purpose here? And my answer was, you got 5 incarnations of karmic credit. Your job is to help other black people bring up their credit. You know, because we're so far in debt, it's just unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And so I can't do a whole lot now, but I'm doing case studies. Put in a situation where I'm near the very people Amos Wilson and Francis Cress Wilson and Jewel Pucco and Bobby E. Wright talk about. I now live right next to those people. This was a first for me. You know, you get to figure out, you develop your listening skills and you figure out, you know, how this person thinks with their actions and then respond to them accordingly. And
that's right. Mm-hmm.
Really grateful to y'all because y'all let me know my life is not in vain.
You're a human library, my love.
Deliver babies. I've immunized them herbally and homeopathically and then educated them K-12. And so I just let me know because sometimes you feel lonesome, you know.
Yeah.
Folks are talking about stuff and you're the one doing the work that's being spoken of. So thank you for not making me feel lonesome. Thank you for letting me know.
You're more than
that. I am not.
Bless you, Queen.
We got to come visit you. We got to.
Please leave your information, Ia. Oh, my God.
Benny.
Brother Bomer has my information. He has my contact number. And be patient
Queen Mother, before you get off, Mother, I want to say this.
Is horrible. My phone is horrible.
No worries. You sound
tell
so
me
great.
Who you call. Don't. You know, sometimes I get a text. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I can make a call. Sometimes I can't. And I realize, you know, that that's evil. Trying to prevent me from continuing.
Well, we remove all that. That's gone. We command it gone. Boom. No more.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. And so, my queen, before you get off the queen mother, before you leave the phone, I would like to share with you. I was with some young people who was born in Oyatunji, and they spoke of a blind woman who made them feel really, really, they were, you are that blind woman that they were just talking about last night who came to Oyatunji and treated them so beautiful. You was a mother who took care of them. I don't know if you cooked. I don't know. Something you left with those babies that they're adults and they still remember the love you gave them and all of what they were going through in their journey. You were a woman, a blind woman, they spoke about that really was there for them. And you are the one. I don't remember anyone else that was there blind. So I want to let you know that, yes, you are loved. And even all that you have done, the young people are older now, and they are still remembering your love that you gave them from Oyatunji.
I almost left the village naked because I'm a locoon. And most of the work I do is the locoon and egun. So I had an Oshun garment, and I had a Yemenja garment, and I had an Obatala garment, and I had boobas and lapas for almost every Orisha you could name. And so I end up almost leaving the village naked because those were there, or Reese's would ask me for it, and you know, you can't say no. But when I got down to my last couple of garments, I said, sweetie, unless you're going to give me something in exchange, I can't.
Absolutely. You learned, right?
Yeah, you learned.
You learned.
But the fact then, there was only one Olokun in the village, and when I came, she was excited, and we had a ball. Yeah, I enjoyed it. The Egun came out while we were there, and they realized that we were actually living the tradition. So they brought us inside the village. You know, outside they had the place for visitors and tourists, but when they realized when they realized we actually lived it. The tradition, they brought us in and put us in our own ile.
Wow.
Right along with everybody else. And it's an experience I will never forget. Ever.
Well, I'm glad to come and enjoy the fruits of your labor, because like I said, when people say, oh, you know, the great king of all your kings, you say, yeah, but you know, you have many people that had to walk, and you're one of those people that helped in the beginning, one of the true original pioneers that did everything. You did it without sight, you did it by spirit, and you show your walk. So thank you so much, and may the Orishas and the ancestors continue to bless you.
Yeah, y'all hadn't left New York hardly but a deep breath, and then we heard about you, because my family had 9 acres of land in Jersey, and so we were building a village setting and went down, one, to set up a sister connection between Oyatunji and Ile Nkwanda Oshuni. That was the name of our land. That family name there was Oshuni, and all of my grown children have Yoruba names.
Ashe,
Fogbane Row, Amoke, Omoishe.
Parsley at a moment, and I think we have another caller. We have another caller.
Okay,
go ahead.
I look forward to hearing from y'all. Thank you, though.
Okay. Well, I have a question. You know, I'm listening to what everybody been saying. I understand the significance of certain things. So, individually, everyone tell me exactly what their name means, because we understand the importance of name, what they mean in particular in regards to person, place, location, essence, attribute, things of the nature. So, can everybody please explain what their name means one at a time?
Your majesty, always first.
Okay, well, my name, my actual legal document name is Ifa Bumi, but I go by Fa Bumi, but Ifa, which is the 13th Odu, which speaks of the Oludumare, and Funi, which is a gift. So I am a gift from a priest to basically of knowledge. So I'm a gift of knowledge from basically how I say it. Not how everybody says that. Ifa, basically, I'm a gift from the creator. To a creator, to a priest, something like that. I thought we were just talking about the first name, but Ade, of course, means crown, and then like Adefumi is like a wearer, and then Adesoji is a crown keeper or some of that stature. So yeah, but my names are all basically a holy name. Basically, I'm a gift from God, I'm a gift from Oludumare, a gift from God, however you wish to call it, to a priest. And so basically, there's me. So I'm a gift of the light of speaking. And then Ade, both Ade, Soji, and Ade Funi. Ade meaning just crown. And then like Funi is a wearer, crown wearer. And then Soji is a keeper, crown keeper, and stuff like that.
Alori Tade Kabisi.
My born name is Iyakade, which means mother is worth more than a crown of gold, roughly. And it's very similar to Iyanuura, like the national song
for our women's Egbe, Yanura EABA, Mother's Worth More Than a Crown of Gold. And my last name, my last born name is Oyelumi, which is something like one of many titles, and that's my father's last name. And my mother's last name is Ogunlano, which in our culture, you come here through either your father's side or your mother's side. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to get a birth reading, they tell you what side you come from. And so although my birth name is Oyelumi, I do come from my mother's side, which is Ogunlano, and that means Ogun clears the path or clears the obstacles. So there will be no obstacles in my path because Ogun helps us. And then my priest name is Shango Oba Laki, which means the king we all salute. And so it is very important. Our name, in our culture, in the Yoruba culture, they say our names are our first oriki, and that's basically like a praise song. And so your name is really, really important to you. It's like repetition, subconscious programming. So, you know, you keep putting that into yourself and into your child, and it can be a positive thing. So that's my name.
We expect the Abba crown there in Atlanta.
Thank you. So my name, Oba, Olorunbo Faluwe, is a title that I received from my grandfather, which means the rich man hears the cries of his people. Then I have Ifa Shade, which is the crown of Ifa. Olosunde is from Oshun, which is the priest has returned. And the title, Iyalode Oshun Alawoye, is the head of the women of Oshun Alawoye. My birth name or my birth ancestral name, Ifa Fadoju. In fact, my mother's last name is Fadoju, but I find out it is Ifa Fadoju. So yeah, there's a lot of names, but I just go by Oba. It's easier.
Yoruba, you get a lot of names. Your name is your whole road and your title. Yeah, I didn't give my full name. It's very, very long, but you're right, sister. What's your name?
Lafia. My yeye name is Saint Bernadette, and we grew to actually have all of those phenomenon of visits from angels, and so we do journey in that same path as an ancestral priestess. We have many names. Sudi Maria Muhammad is one of our names. I don't like to negate any of my attributes. Oshun Ede is my priest name, the spirit of elegance. Olusegun is the name of my clan, which are Obawaja, divine. It's the Lord Triumphs, Ashe. We also have a Ikusanu, which is the all of the Egungu of the children of a diaspora, and we give thanks for those ancestors that carry us through. My title is Divine Empress. I was married to an African who actually qualified us in their system as the Divine Empress, but my children actually gave me Divine Empress title at the age of 30. I was 30 years old and didn't have a gift to give to me. And they said, Mother, we want to give you a different name. Everybody calls you Queen, so we give you Divine Empress. So that's a title that was bestowed upon us by our children. Our children gave us that title. So, yes. Oshun Ede, we walk in the spirit of elegance. Shango Femi is also my priest name. I do pray.
I appreciate that, sisters. I got another call up and opening line up. 618-203. You have a question, comment, statement, please do so at the time. 618-203, your line is open. Go ahead.
Alafia, beautiful people. This is amazing. This is amazing. My name is Obadele Oyelumi. Yes. Kade's younger brother.
Okay.
this is it's confirmation that everything that once we had an opportunity to hear the elders speak, which was phenomenal for me in general, as she broke everything down, her history, being a woman who cannot physically see, but is still able to hear that, as she said, what she's living for and what she's lived for, she's taught us. So, again, that's confirmation from the ancestors, from the Odisha. It starts with us. It continues with us. And no matter what faction, as you all were reiterating over and over, the word love, it's more than that. It's deeper than that. Once we first learn how to love ourselves, we teach our family and our children, and we get on code and stay on code and not allow fear to get
that
in the way of what we
That's
are doing.
Right. I said, go ahead. Stay on
code. So let's continue
That's
this.
Right.
Let's continue
That's
this.
Right.
This is it's been rumbling. The earth has heard our cry. We've heard the earth cry, our people. It is not going to stop because we are here and we aren't aware. So we are the educators. We are the doctors. We are the healers. We are the priests of whatever faction. Again, and I say that with importance because love supersedes all of that. And once we start with that, we'll be able to move forward and move past our differences. But it's very important that we are aware of who we are. That's where it starts. So I'm not going to stay on here too much longer. I'm blessed to be able to have had the opportunity to listen in with you all. But let's keep it going. Let's not fake the funk, you know.
That's
we have
right.
gotten
okay.
started. It doesn't have to take. We think so big. It has already started. So we just
That's
have
right.
to keep it moving forward, and then
That's right.
you
That's
know.
Right. That's right. We want to. We want to, brother. You know, like I said, the Obatala Festival is coming up, and we're gonna have another roundtable there, actually in person, live. So if you get a chance to come to Tuesday for the Obatala Festival, it'll be a pleasure to meet you in person and sit down and talk, and we can all strategize and get things moving for our people, our nation, our culture, and tradition of spirituality.
Asha.
Appreciate it, good,
right.
bro.
Hold up.
So,
thank you, Lord.
Hi, Tyra.
Well, we actually had like 7 minutes left, right? And I would like y'all just the opportunity to leave with it. We leave with some final thoughts, each one of you. So go ahead at this time.
Okay, me as the Yeoba, I want to leave everybody with these thoughts. You know, our children is our future and our key. If we fail our children now, we won't have no future. And at the rate we are going, how our children are being gunned down in grocery stores for the color of their skin, can't go to school, can't do anything. We are in bleeding perilous times. We need to do as much as possible. We need all hands on deck. No idea is a bad idea. You know, all to the table, one to the table makes many to the table. And so I plead with everybody, and I pull everybody to hold tight to our culture, tradition, and spirituality. Know our history so we are not doomed to constantly repeat our history. Those are the things I wish to put out there.
This is Alori Tade.
Thanks, Tade.
First and foremost, we always have to start with the man in the mirror, like the great Michael Jackson told us. And so we honor and bless everyone that, you know, start with yourself. Every day, one thing I preach to everyone is to take some time out to yourself and meditate, because it can save lives. Literally, it can save lives. So as a people, African-American people here, we start with ourselves, meditation. Our children will start to watch that. And so inherently, they're going to start to know how to emotionally govern themselves, which is going to help them overall in life. And so, again, start with ourselves, start with our Rites of Passage program, start with our education, and start with our self-love.
and move from there.
Ashay. My thing is changing this vibration of this planet with love. As she said, start with self. Each one teach one. When you love yourself, you know better, you do better, and that's what teaches another. That's what heals another. We have to plant the seeds to destroy the fears that's been inbred in us for so long. So once we plant that seed of love in each one of us and allow that to grow, it will destroy that fear. We've been living in fear for far too long, and it's time for it to be broken. And it's broken with the truth of who you are, the empowerment of who you are, the knowledge of who you are, and knowing that we are divine. When you know you're divine, can nobody tell you that you're not? So, again, love is the key to all things. I'm going to leave you with that.
Oh, beautiful. Adding on to our empresses, our queens, our goddesses, love is the key, and we are here to change the world, and it is with our frequency, and that is love. I want to also, say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it again, that we have to re-engineer ourselves, and quantum leaping our ancestors, resurrecting our ancestors, quantum leaping our souls to our ancestors, to the roots, our source, is going to help us kind of like quantum leap over that gray matter, the trauma of our life journey. And so, yes, loving ourselves and understanding each person that comes in our lives have a life also that they live. We must be gentle with each other. We must be more conscious of the Christ consciousness and really apply that, like the Queen Mother said and the brother said, practice what we preach. So transparency, that's my life. I wrote my book about my life, and I continue to write about my journey here in this Earth atmosphere. And our message from the Galactic Federation of Star Beings is that we must love each other. It's very important to have compassion for each other. Asha.
Okay. Again, I'll thank you all on your very illustrious titles for taking the time out of our schedule to share with us your wisdom, your prudence, your divine femininity, your intelligence, your experiences, and your thoughts. You know, and it's been a very pleasant, peaceful, elucidating show. That's very thought provoking and filled with a lot of understanding. And also, if anybody listening, interested in learning more about Georgia University, they can contact me personally at boomani_secure80@gmail.com. It's BOMANISHAKUR80@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook page called Georgia University, an Instagram page called Georgia University, and a Twitter page called Georgia University. I want to say long live resistance. And what I'm going to leave you with everybody with is just do the work. Everybody be complaining about situations, what we can do for ourselves. We had an intelligent and free will to make our own decisions. We had the power to overcome any kind of situation. So just do the work. That's all it takes. Do the work. And I want to say Alafia.
Alafia. Thank you, brother. You are always a blessing, Bumani. You are a blessing. You are a true general in the cause for our people. That's why I'm remembering what has happened to us. I just want to tell you, every time I've ever spoken to you, every time I have a conversation, it's always enlightened. You're a very strong and powerful brother. Keep doing what you're doing. And then make sure they understand that we have real true political brothers. Still, our prison brothers are still locked down behind the wall. And thank you for making sure everybody don't forget them and keep them to the forefront to remind us if we don't learn from our history, our future will end up just like our past. So thank you so much for who you are, what you are, and what you do for us.
I say, sisters.
Wow.